Well, welcome back to Coast, rapidly becoming the largest program on the planet, thanks to you. We've got Dr. Lori Levin with us this hour. We're going to take phone calls with her about consciousness and spirituality. And next hour, Dr. Lori Nadell joins us as we talk about unlocking that special sense within your body and your mind. So get ready for that as well. All of that next on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Lori, before we go to calls, tell me a little bit about the Moonview Sanctuary.
Moonview Sanctuary is a holistic psychiatric, medical, and psychological institute that runs without walls. So wherever the client patient is, we can go to you and or you can come to us. We do both. But it's really a collection of 65 different practitioners all having successful private practices that wanted to come together to create a new model of care where your case is discussed by team and worked on by team to create a customized treatment for you. So it's novel in its approach because a lot of doctors, you know, you'll have chronic pain or you'll have depression or you'll have a divorce or something that's going on that affects the family system. You need comprehensive, collective, and holistic care. It's, your body takes a hit, your communication takes a hit, your thinking takes a hit. So you can't, one doctor to do talk therapy sometimes is long and arduous and it doesn't get you quicker results. So it's holistic and team-oriented for customized care.
And these practitioners are all around the country, or are they just in the L.A. area? Where are they?
But most of them are in the L.A. area. Our offices, our prime offices are in Santa Monica. But they are, some of them are all over the country. It depends on, we call in particular to your case, the best doctors that would be working for you. And that requires us to get to know you. There's usually a three-day assessment with about 10 practitioners, and then we put together a customized treatment for you.
Good for you. Good for you. And then, and how long have you been doing that?
We've been open 8 years, but the model and the working with patients has been going on 12 years.
Okay. Let's go to some calls here. Start with Josh in Calabasas, California on the wild card line. Hey, Josh, go ahead.
Happy New Year, George.
You too, Josh.
Yes, and the and your guests as well. Very positive guest you had tonight. And first of all, George, I would like to say something that before the show about the soldiers that you were talking about,
yeah,
soldiers that are coming back with post-traumatic syndrome and shell shock and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the best, you know, these kids are going to need a lot of love, okay? First of all, tremendous amounts of love because they are completely out of their minds. And I also think that they need to be rebaptized and to be born again before they can come back into a normal life. When you go from that horror to coming back home to Hollywood or to your families and all that, it's just impossible. So I just had that feeling when I heard that, and I, you know, I felt really strongly about that. And so I wanted to say that, but I also wanted to say about 2012. I think 2012 is going to be a reshedding of planet Earth. It's going to be the Mayans always talked in cycles, and it was going to be a cycle of, you know, the, I think bad things are going to happen, but as well, but for great things to happen also. So we have to enter into this frame of mind. And I think your guest, when he was talking about entering to a stage of enlightenment and higher consciousness, I think that's what's going to happen this year. So
all right.
I wanted to say that.
Let's get your take on some of that, Lori.
Well, Josh, I love your idea about the soldiers because I did my training at the Brentwood VA with soldiers with PTSD, and when you have that kind of horror that you participated in and it was rewarded and you're conflicted when you come back with nothing to show for it and a lot of pain, there is a certain kind of spiritual intervention that that needs to occur, whether the person is religious, spiritual or not. It's what helps them get out of the dark night of the soul. And it is something that we've got to attend to, and it is a very important responsibility that we as Americans who sent them off need to pay back.
There's no doubt about that. Let's go next to first-time caller, Liesl, in Central Point, Oregon. Hi, Liesl.
Hi.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I'm, like, really grateful. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have been told recently, it's been a really dark year for me. I've kind of been bouncing back and forth between not being in a job, and luckily I have an ex-husband that's amazing and in-laws that are amazing, so I kind of go back and forth between the two of them. And I have a 13-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I'm in a great relationship, but everybody keeps saying, oh, you're in your return of Saturn, there's all these terrible things happening, it's going to be a really rough for you, year for you, you're 42 years old. Everything I've looked up on the internet says that happens, like, in your 30s or 29 or whatever. So I don't know what's going on in my life, but I just feel this impending sense of doom. And I don't know where I'm supposed to be going career-wise. I don't know what in the heck I'm supposed to be doing with myself. I just know that I care enough about my girls to do something with myself. So I'm just trying to get that all figured out. And I'm having health problems, and I just want to see where to go.
All right. Are you crying, by the way, or do you have a cold?
No, I'm outside, and it's really cold outside. Okay. So I'm kind of sniffling from the cold.
All right. Good. We don't want you crying. Go ahead, Lori.
No,
any tips?
I'm not crying. I'm happy.
All right.
Is your mom passed?
Lee?
My mom was born in 39.
Is she passed or is she here?
No, she's alive.
Okay.
She's alive. She's got some health problems. She's alive. She and my dad are both alive. My grandfather just passed the beginning of December, and he was my last grandparent that was alive.
Because I feel like there's a mother figure on your shoulder. And
Okay. That's
why I felt like your mom had passed. And I don't know if there was another woman that was very involved with raising you. I feel like I want to teach you how to read intuitive information, because, and this is the part that I was talking about in slowing down. And really knowing if they're knocking on your door, and this is good for everybody who's listening, but if you get the chills while you're talking to somebody, or an unexpected twitch in your eye, or a high-pitched tone in your ear, or a dream that sticks with you and you can't shake it, like with what the Native Americans would say, a big dream.
Okay.
You know, start paying attention and writing in the morning. If you believe in God, write at the top of the page, "Dear God, please speak," and then just write automatic writing. Or if you don't believe in God, you know, just your highest self, get out of your primitive brain, light a candle, make it a sacred moment, and start doing a heavy personal inventory, because this is exactly what I was talking about, where people are up against their patterns. The old way can't get you out of what you're going through anymore.
No, it's not. And I know that. I know it's that thing where, like, if it's not working for you, stop doing it. So,
and
the thing is, it's like, what does work for me? What am I supposed to be doing? Where, you know, and it's like I'm scared to death that I'm going to lose one of my kids, or one of my kids is going to lose me. And
who's Margie?
That's like my big problem right now.
Is there somebody named Margie around you?
There was a long time ago. I have somebody named Margaret that I've grown really close to. It's actually my aunt Margaret, and that I grew a lot closer to her at my grandfather's funeral. But my grandfather and I were never greatly close. It was a really tough family, as loved as he was. But she and I definitely have opened up to a way to each other that we never have before.
It's going to be a really good resource for you.
Well, that's important. Lori, when you started doing this, I mean, were you born with this gift or did you develop it?
Both. You know, I knew that I knew something. There were senders and there were receivers. It's that feeling when you think about somebody all day and you'll come home and they're on your voicemail. Like, I knew that there were senders and receivers, but I didn't know how it worked. And when I was 16, I read my father's Playboy with an interview with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And she was smoking one cigarette after another, and the Playboy interviewer says, Elizabeth, you who work with cancer patients, she's a psychiatrist who's dead now, but she gave us our first clinical model on death and dying, and she was brilliant. And how could you smoke one cigarette after another? And she believed by being bedside to cancer patients, before they would pass, they would often talk to people who weren't in the room. Henry, who are you? You know, who are you? She would ask the kids, who's Henry? She was calling out for Henry, and they would say, that's our father who died years before. And she began to believe in life after life. I started learning how to speak to that ancestral line, my soul group, who watch over me. And I invite everyone to invite in, not to disturb a soul that might be working on themselves, but to invite in those souls that are part of your ancestral line that love you, whether you knew them or not, who want to come forward to help.
All right. Well, that's good tips. Let's go to Scott, Boise, Idaho. Hey, Scott, take it away.
Good evening, George. Good evening, Lori. How you doing?
Good.
Hi, Scott.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. I had a theory about mass consciousness. I do a lot of journaling about mass consciousness, and over the past few years, I seem to have been doing a lot more journaling about it. And recently, I've started to have this theory that we as human beings upon the planet, that we were put here to evolve some kind of higher consciousness, to transport that consciousness out into the universe. And basically, what my theory is that the planet that we are on, we were gifted with by a higher consciousness. And we were given this space to produce our mass consciousness within. And that what we know as outer space, the space that's surrounding our planet and the planets in our solar system and beyond, is the space that the planets and the galaxies beyond our solar system were given to expand their knowledge and their consciousness. And I just wanted to see what you guys had to say about that. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. So.
Oh, okay, no, that's fine. And you're breaking up just a little bit, so I'll let you listen on your radio. Go ahead, Lori.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I actually, you know, obviously one has to come to their belief system through their own investigation and their own sense of sensibility. But I, as I said to you, I don't believe that our soul, our consciousness is limited to this earth plane. I believe that we expand and we're all one in some, not that we don't have a unique purpose and a mission. I have never invented a dashboard or a shower cap, but I come in to be an initiator to help people understand their intuitive material. You come in to do whatever your day job is, but we're all really one, and I do believe that you're right. Our expanded consciousness and is to evolve us to learning how to give and receive love. Earth is a very grounded, dense school. And the other planes and dimensions are etheric and light. And we come together to grow. And we are vaster than this limited expression. And every word you said, I wrote down, and I agree with you.
All right, next up, let's go to Tony in the Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Tony. Hi there.
The thing I want to bring up, you know, you're talking about consciousness and everything and being part of a larger thing. Even hardcore scientists right now, because they can't deny hard math, and basic math says that mass and energy exist, that they cannot just come out of existence. And, you know, through science lately, they've observed electrons and protons when they orbit in the nucleus of an atom being there and then not being there and then being there. They've even been forced to admit there has to be at least two of us, two of me, two of you, two of everybody else. There has to be at least one other dimension, because otherwise they would have to admit that all their math was wrong, because mass or energy or particles cannot just stop existing. So when that other particle in every atom in our body disappears and then comes back on their radar, so to speak, or as they're observing it, it has to go somewhere. And if it goes somewhere, it has to be hooked to a similar atom, which means there has to be at least two of us. And no matter how much they deny religion, expanded consciousness, the soul, if we have these souls and we have this unexplained sixth sense or whatever you want to call it, regardless of how they try to deny everything else in the world, if they try to deny the fact that that energy doesn't go somewhere and connect us with something, whether it's on the other side of the spiritual plane or on the other side in another dimension, we have to exist. That mass cannot cease to exist. Otherwise, every theory of math and consciousness that they have, that they follow in their everyday life, is nothing.
Well, I agree. It does not go away. It goes somewhere, Lori. A lot of people will debate where that might be, but it just doesn't dissipate.
I'm propelled to say something that's off point, but it serves to illuminate, not from a math or a scientific point of view, but whenever you worry about somebody or you pray for somebody or you're mulling over a situation about somebody, you're sending out part of your energy. It's what intuitives call bilocation. And if we could refine it so that when one wants to understand from a heart place what another that they're entwined with is feeling or thinking or wants to send them a message because they don't have a phone or they can't really get to them or they want to go to their highest consciousness and talk to your highest consciousness, you imagine that person and you walk into them on the etheric. It's a guided imagery. And then you ask them while you're entering into them, A, you ask permission to enter them, and B, if you're allowed in, then you quietly ask that other human being what is going on pertinent to whatever you're requesting. That is called bilocation. It's how intuitives work. I entered Liesl to find Margie, you know, or I'm talking to some other maternal figure that's feeding me the information. We can be two places at one time. Our corporal form is dense, and our etheric form is light body.
Lori, when we come back, I want to talk with you a little bit about reincarnation, and then we'll take final phone calls. 564 stations and getting stronger. Well, driving around Los Angeles right now, listening to us on KFI AM 640, home improvement producer Billy Ryback and famed ring announcer Peter Vaccaro listening to the program, sending emails all over the place. Hope you two are enjoying the moment and also Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Dr. Lori Levan. We're going to take your final phone calls with her this hour as well. Lori, reincarnation. Are you a believer in that?
I do, but I don't. It's not for everybody. It's for who holds the belief that they've had the past life. Dr. Ian Stevenson died, and Dr. Jim Tucker took over his work at the University of Virginia, and they've gotten incredible results. Mostly from children where it was supported, Thailand, India, Cambodia. Oftentimes the children forget it by the time they're 8 years old. They have really early memories. They'll start right when they start to talk. They'll talk about another lifetime. They might give you few details. But in the Asian cultures and the cultures that believe in reincarnation, there are far more brilliant accounts.
Okay, let's go to who's up next? Gene in Pasco, Washington, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Gene.
Good evening and Happy New Year to all of you.
You too, Gene. Thanks for holding, by the way.
You're welcome. Good evening. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Gene.
I've just been enchanted and enthralled about the idea of that we all contribute to a collective which benefits all of us. It's just an amazing concept to me.
It is.
It is. And then, but then I've heard, you know, a few callers that say they, you know, they're unemployed, they don't know what to do. Another gentleman talked about our veterans who are in need. In my own state of Washington here, we had a fellow who was found dead not long ago after allegedly killing a park ranger. And the tragedy there is that, you know, not only was the lady killed, but this fellow was a vet from Iraq, I believe.
Yep, it was Iraq.
Yes, and presumably, and I'm, you know, speaking without great knowledge, he could have been helped, and perhaps the whole thing could have been averted. And so this idea of the collective kind of makes me wonder, what about, you know, the people in the collective who perhaps cannot contribute? You know, their Alzheimer's, their Down syndromes, their PSD veterans. I have a problem with reconciliation with that. Can you explain that maybe?
What happens to them, Lori, those who do not have that ability to tap into the collective consciousness?
Well, first off, everybody's plugged in, whether they are conscious of being plugged in or even are reluctant about being plugged in. And your physical expression is, as I've said, is not, in my estimation, your only expression. That you have a very vibrant life on other dimensions. So that even if your corporal body is in disrepair, you can still be an active, beautiful being and be of mission to light and love.
Do you have to be aware? Let me cite this as an example. Tell me if it works or not. I believe the collective consciousness is stronger collectively than individually, though there are some individuals who are very powerful and they can pull things off that are just magnificent. Be that as it may, so there's somebody out there who, as he mentioned, needed help. They're not aware of this. They don't know how to tap into it. They can't tap into it. Can they get help by the collective consciousness and not even be aware that it's happening to them?
Yes, and there's studies on the power of prayer where there are rats, two groups of rats that are both given the same amount of toxin, and the group that is prayed for heals quicker, faster. So how does that work? Well, depending upon your belief system, and the reason why I keep saying your belief system is real, because at a quantum physics level, our reality is real for us. So you have to join with the person's reality on what their belief system is. But let's say that...
Easy on the phone there, Lori, easy. But you're shifting your phone, by the way.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was trying to get closer.
Don't ever do that again.
When Gene talks about, you know, the unemployed and the vets, you know, that we can, as a group, A, pray, even if it can't be done directly. Mm-hmm. We can do it indirectly by sending out a vibration of love and light. Just as there are energies, divine energies that service love and light. I am of the opinion there are energies that service the dark. And the way that we are going to, as a group, collectively come into this new spiritual awakening is to only settle for that which is love and light. I haven't hearkened, you know, on the dark, but the dark does exist.
And it's just as strong, I think.
I think it's alluring, but I don't think it's as strong. I think that's why we're going through this deconstruction time.
You don't think sometimes darkness can win out over goodness?
No, I always feel that there's lemonade, that it's our choice to, that darkness is uninterpreted light, that at some level of us, even the most horrific events, when we look at the ripple effect of the people that they affected, even though the destruction is immense, if we went one by one, each one of those human beings, including my husband whose son was murdered, there is always lemonade in there. You know, would you have volunteered to be a parent who lost their child? No.
No way.
But
no
in
way.
Some way, if we scratch the surface, there is lemonade to be made out of it.
Parents' biggest fear, Lori, as you know, is their child going before they do.
Yes. And the horrors of life right now. We're up against so many issues. And as we're being stripped of all the constructs that used to hold us up, where our economy, our health, the planet's health, we have to go in and we have to go up. And those who aren't necessarily aware that they're being helped, we can help through unity, through prayer, through being in our heart center, by taking a beat.
Okay, next up, let's go to Nashville, Tennessee. Chris is there. Hey, Chris, thanks. Go ahead.
Howdy.
Hey.
Thanks, George, for everything you've been doing over these years. It's really appreciated. I know by millions of people out there, and it's been a great conversation tonight. I really appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Chris.
But, I understand and really feel like I get what you're saying about the whole collective consciousness and everything, but I deal with such a frustration because I just want to get it out there and share it. I find such a hard time getting that medium out there. I mean, I try and do that, you know, from day-to-day acts of just interaction with people, but I always feel like there's more I can do. And it just is a constant frustration in my life that, I don't know, I feel like it holds me back. I was wondering what your comment would be on that.
More that you can do. If we live a life where every encounter we're operating from to the best of our ability, our heart, that is a beautiful life. If that's all you do, Chris, by trying your more, that is a gorgeous life. You know, there's a many, many accounts on near-death experiences where people who have flatlined and come back and they talk about the life review experience. And oftentimes,
yeah,
life review is...
I actually had committed suicide quite a few years ago and actually died. And, yeah, now I'm alive still. So I just feel like I'm here to do something and get, you know, get the word out, just like exactly what you're doing, you know, helping people. But I just find such a frustration because you're met with so many roadblocks in day-to-day culture now that it's just such an epic frustration. Sorry to cut you off there.
Oh, no, that's so important that you did have a near-death experience and that you are, as you know, I don't know personally how, you know, I'd have to know you better to know exactly what you might do. But if you could start to just ask. And, you know, often people who have gone to the light are homesick for the light, and they want it even more because they know how beautiful it feels, that all ecstasy, all joy, all knowing. So if you could just perhaps do some meditation where you merge the borders of your body into the light, almost close your eyes and walk into the light and ask that which guides you to give you more information on how you can be on purpose. And see if you are in, if you are congruent, or if there is more that you can do. But ask.
All right,
okay.
Good advice there, and thank you. By the way, though, you know what? The other side may be pleasant, but there's no rush, is there, Lori?
None, and don't squander the gift. You were brought back for a reason, Chris. You know it.
Let's go to another Chris in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. First time caller, Chris. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you. How you doing?
Good, Chris. You too.
All right. My question is, my grandmother passed away about 2 months ago, and she was battling lung cancer for about a year and a half.
Okay.
And the last maybe 4 months were kind of rough. I was there with her every step of the way, and she went from waving in the air, talking to nothing. And my main question is, we used to live at 538. That was our address on our one street.
Okay.
And random times through the day, I'll just happen to look and I'll see a number and it's 538. And it's so weird. And our phone number used to be end in 1036. And every so often, like, I'll see that number. And my wife kind of gets on me about it, like, oh, you're obsessing, blah, 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 blah. But I look at it as her saying to me, hello. No, I'm still with you.
That is so beautiful. And yes, it's a common, what you're stating is common, that there are after-death communications that come through numbers anything that is known by you where you'll take it in, and, you know, insects, if your grandmother loved ladybugs and a ladybug's on your window perpetually, or anything that has meaning for you, a lick of a refrain of a song that you shared together and you wake up and you can't shake it, and lo and behold, for you it's numbers. For other people it's smoke or perfume. Or there's all different ways after-death communications can happen, and I think it's beautiful that 2 months out she's talking to you. Usually it takes about a year, so this is a big, strong woman who was probably working on knitting herself to these realms while she was in decline. You know, she probably had some time while she was sleeping or in bed, and it was a ride. So oftentimes that kind of a death, that's slower, they can get fortified. So I think it's beautiful, Chris.
Okay, who's next? Boy, the phones are lining up, running out of time here with Lori. Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Nancy, it's your turn. Go ahead, Nance.
Hi, Happy New Year, guys.
You too.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. I went through a terrible divorce 10 years ago, and ever since, I have this fear that grips me. Usually in the morning when I wake up, it's like a gripping fear of, okay, what's going to happen now? And I've been through a lot of loss. And I'm just wondering, also confusion. I was wondering if there's something that I can do. Maybe I try to meditate, and I do pray. I am a Christian. But it just seems like every morning I have this gripping fear, and it came when my ex-husband left me.
You know, there are certain states, difficult internal states, that require dewiring. And, you know, it's not to say that you could go see a therapist. You know, EMDR is a really good trauma treatment. But for our purposes right here, right now, since you said you are a Christian and you do pray in the morning, you know, start asking Archangel Michael, who's the protector, to come and take that state away. Ask that which guides you on the other side. And I'm asking people to think big. Like, there's a lot of healers who are deceased, who still want to work, you know, on your benefit, and call in those healers on the other side, as well as seeing somebody in the real life, you know, if you need to. But there is a lot of help on the other side. And then, Nancy, listen, like, really, you know, that automatic writing and getting it out. It's important to sweep your house and put a lot of love and light. Oftentimes when we get depressed, we bring in those darker energies that George and I were talking about. Sweep your house and ask Archangel Michael on a perpetual basis to sweep your house of the darker energies and really infuse it with love and light, and also perhaps to see somebody, because you were traumatized and it is real, and then you have to grieve and you have to go through that. 10 years is a little long for you to still be, you know, wrenched with that fear. So I really ask you to go see somebody, or by doing what I said first, and then please go see someone.
Lori, give us some websites. How do people get a hold of you, email you?
There's two. One is LoriAnnLevin.com. And my email, which I'm happy to, is Lori@LoriAnnLevin.com. And also MoonviewSanctuary.com.
Okay, and we've got those linked for you as well at CoastToCoastAM.com. Nancy, thank you. We'll grab one or two more calls, and that's all that time will permit. San Marcos, Texas. Let us go east of the Rockies, and it's Gerald. Gerald, go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Nancy. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi, Gerald.
My name is Jared, by the way. I don't know if they misspelled that there. I've been...
I'll never indict my staff.
All right. It's an honest mistake. This year I've been going through a lot of change, a lot of just, you know, trying to figure myself out. And as I was sitting down, winding down for the evening, listening to Lori here, I just kept looking at the radio going, this is some truth here. This is what I need to be listening to. So I just wanted to say thank you. And I think that more than anything, we need to embrace this. you know, and I have a saying, a little mantra I say to myself, and I hope that I can. Can I share this on the air with you guys?
We've got a little bit of time, okay. But not much.
It is. Love is the answer to hate. Charity is the answer to greed. And giving is the answer to need.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, Jared.
I think that can help us a lot.
That is really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with everyone.
You know, last hour, Lori, you were telling us about road rage, which I see every place I go. I see it in L.A., St. Louis, New York. Wherever I go, I see road rage. It's everywhere. What makes people so uptight?
George, this is such a big question.
You got 45 seconds to answer it.
I think there's a lot of violence. I think there's a lot of discharge. I think there's a lot of displacement, which is a reaction to something that's really a bigger problem, which is that we are up against the walls of our old patterns, and we need to start going in and doing some heavy inventory and stop blaming and going out.
All right, Lori, thank you so much for being on the program. Very enlightening. It's a great way to kick off 2012. I'll tell you, special two-part program for you tonight. Up next, another Dr. Lori Nadel, as we talk about Dr. Lori Nadel's sixth sense, unlocking your ultimate mind power. So stick with us. That'll be all next on Coast to Coast AM. Right here, don't touch your dial. We shall be right back with more.